March might have been an odd month for the labor market. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. While a private sector report on jobs earlier this week suggested the underlying labor market is probably in decent shape in America, the government's report tomorrow covering March could produce surprises. Consensus now is that about 175 new names were added to payrolls last month. Let's go to Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Diane, think the report will be strong?
Well, no matter what, the underlying labor market is healing. What we don't know is, will we get that give back in jobs, the 80,000 jobs that were created by unseasonably warm winter weather? Will they show up as a give back because we pulled hiring forward? And the week that we did the survey, March 12th, we had snowstorms across the country, which meant a lot of people couldn't even show up for work. So that could be another downside risk on the number. It doesn't change the underlying healing.
What about what's going on in Washington? I mean, there's a federal hiring freeze.
We've not appointed 1,200 or even named 1,200 jobs that are usually at least in the pipeline on presidential appointments at this stage of the game. That didn't show up in the ADP report earlier this week, that federal hiring freeze, and it's an area where attrition is very high. We also have leisure and hospitality, which looks like it's being hit by a slowdown in foreign travel to the United States because of concerns about what they face at the border. Whatever we think we need at the border, it does have ripple effects, and it is hitting the tourism industry, particularly the high-end tourism industry, and that could show up there as well.
But another strong area of the economy has been healthcare, right?
Healthcare has been a strong area, but uncertainty about the fate of what's going to happen to insurance in this country, the failure to change, repeal, and repair, or whatever they're going to do to the Affordable Care Act, that has created a lot of uncertainty that could cause hesitation in hiring in a sector that's been a key driver of employment gains in recent years.
Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
And there's news that the personal products and packaged food giant Unilever is giving itself an overhaul. Unilever may sell off its margarine and mayo businesses, the spreads, as they call them in the trade. Selling spreads would be a culture shift, given that the firm was built in part off the back of both soap and margarine. The British-Dutch conglomerate tried and failed recently to take over Kraft Heinz. Unilever stock is up 1.1% in London. With the presidents of China and the U.S. meeting in Florida starting today, it is trade and North Korea likely at the top of the agenda. And one expert on North Korea's relations has noted some signs over the last year or so that Donald Trump might like to put his art of the deal negotiating skills to work on fixing the North Korea situation. Leon Siegel is director of the Northeast Asia Cooperative Security Project at the Social Science Research Council in New York. Good morning to you, Professor.
Good morning.
You parsed some of his campaign speeches. You saw, if you're really looking carefully as you were, there are places where, as a candidate, Donald Trump thought maybe he could do some talking with these people. But, you know, since then, the assassination with nerve gas in Kuala Lumpur and North Korea firing more missiles may have changed his or his administration's impulse to negotiate.
Well, actually, he came close to starting negotiations. The question is, can he get back there? And he did so after the test of the KN-11, the thing they just tested. And that's where his dealings with President Xi of China might be useful. The Chinese are prepared to help us if we're interested in negotiation. If it's not about negotiating, there's very little the Chinese can do to put enough pressure on North Korea to make them knuckle under.
It's interesting because that's not the administration's public view. The administration, Donald Trump in particular, seems to think that the Chinese could lean heavily on North Korea if they so desired.
They don't desire it. Forcing North Korea to knuckle under would require a cutoff of oil, a cutoff of food, a cutoff of purchases. And that's something the Chinese are not willing to risk because the consequences of instability on their border are grave. What people may not know is the North Koreans have shown some interest in suspending their nuclear and missile programs in return for the U.S., you know, addressing their security concerns. North Korea wants to reduce its dependence on China. That's why it wants to talk to Washington.
One of the reasons it's just so confounding, right? There may have been this impulse by this new president to do some talking. Yet the North Koreans do stuff that can lower the chances of talking.
That's right. Part of it is that they don't really trust us to carry out our ends of the deals, and there is some history here. And that makes it very hard politically to deal with them in Washington. The interesting thing about Donald Trump is he doesn't buy the usual foreign policy establishment views of things, and he just might be willing to try to negotiate.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with these meetings between Mr. Trump and Xi Jinping of China today and tomorrow. Leon Siegel, director of the Northeast Asia Cooperative Security Project at the Social Science Research Council. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
We're also focusing this month on something that could be shaking up American jobs even more than globalization. I'm talking about automation, software, robots in the workplace. Check out the regular Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed here starting Monday for the first part of my audio documentary on this. Also, my road trip through the Midwest in search of robot-proof jobs starts on the air on Monday. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.